And now, for the show reflecting on classic radio, Hollywood 360, with your host, Carl Amari.
I can see you right now in the kitchen, bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
Then you won't be angry.
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby someone. Abby who?
Abby Normal.
What do you do, Carl? Carl is a inventor slash entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm still looking for that home run, you know? I mean, when I saw the iPod first time, I was like, yeah, I could have kicked myself.
That was so hard on him.
What's your name?
Carl's my name.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Hello, everyone. I'm Carl Amari, and this is Hollywood 360, the radio show that presents the best in classic radio. This hour on Hollywood 360, I'll present the conclusion to Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young from 1950. Then it's a rip-roaring Western radio adventure of Roy Rogers from 1951. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Carl, what's up?
What's happening in Hollywood?
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you seen the film or the stage musical of ABBA?
Mamma
Mia.
Not
basically.
Of what?
It's Mamma Mia. It's the ABBA songs.
Huh. Mamma Mia?
Have you heard of that?
Mamma Mia.
No, Mamma Mia.
No, I have not.
Here we go again.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let me explain to you. There's a film called Mamma Mia, which is based on the stage play called Mamma Mia. And now there's a Mamma Mia sequel.
That's a lot.
So if you missed all the Mamma Mias.
Mamma Mia, that's a lot.
The sequel is called Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Have you heard of that song?
No, I haven't.
Have you, do you know the group ABBA?
Yes, I've heard of ABBA.
Okay, well, they made a stage musical based on these songs of ABBA. They put the songs together, made a storyline, and then they made a film into it starring Meryl Streep.
Oh, I didn't know
Okay,
any
well,
of that.
Now there's a sequel.
I didn't know any of that.
Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. The release date is next year, July of 2018.
Right.
And much of the original cast members are going to return to sing more ABBA songs.
Yeah.
And it will be set in the present with both returning cast members and some new actors who will play the younger versions of the actors.
How do I get a ticket now? I want to be ready.
Well, this is a film.
Can I order it now?
This is a film.
Movie ticket for it now?
I will keep you abreast of the situation.
Yeah, let me know. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't
want
to miss that.
I know. I won't miss it.
Yeah. I missed the first one. I don't want to miss the second
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Right. I'll drag you there.
All right. Thanks, okay. Lisa Wolf. Appreciate it. All right. It's time now for the conclusion to Father Knows Best from November 15th, 1950.
Jim, I'm ready.
Just a second, honey. Now, are you all straightened out?
Oh, yes, Daddy.
Good.
Jim, while you're getting your coat, I want to tell where are Betty and Bud?
Margaret, you can make fun of my little lectures all you like. But every once in a while, they do hit home.
Daddy told me how to sell my Pelican Banks, Mommy.
Oh, that's fine, dear. Jim, Betty and Bud haven't even started on the dishes. Where are they?
Oh, I guess I forgot about the dishes, honey. But you know that little talk I gave them tonight? Well, Betty has already gotten a job as a babysitter.
She has she?
That's right.
And Bud?
I don't know. He went off screaming that he's going to make millions. Really took it to heart. Don't take your coat off, Margaret. I'll be ready to go in 2 seconds.
To go where?
To the Smiths, naturally.
And who is going to take care of Kathy?
Oh, no. How could anybody be that stupid?
Oh, Daddy, you aren't stupid.
Stop arguing, Kathleen. This is one time when your father knows best.
It's sometime later in Springfield. We don't know exactly how much later, but believe me, it's later than you think. Bud is well on his way to a fluorescent cap and socks. Betty has her dress. And Kathy, well, Kathy has her Pelicans. Put them all together and what has Father got? That's right, a headache like this.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Lawson, we guarantee all our babysitters.
Bud, will you please get off the phone?
Just a minute, Mrs. Lawson, please. Dad, Mrs. Lawson is a brand new customer. I have to be polite to her.
I would like to use the phone.
You bet, Dad. Hello, Mrs. Lawson? No, it was just my father.
Bud.
Well, I can give you Joe Phillips. He's one of our best babysitters.
Bud.
Oh, yes, ma'am. He's as good as any girl babysitter in town.
Bud.
That's 8 o'clock Friday. Okay, Mrs. Lawson, he'll be there. And thank you very much. Isn't that wonderful, Dad? That's 3 for just Friday.
Let me have the phone.
But I have to call Joe before he goes out.
Let me have the phone.
Holy cow, Dad. This is business. I wouldn't care if it was...
Oh, no.
Excuse me, Dad. Anderson Babysitters Incorporated, but Anderson...
Now I've heard everything.
Oh, sure. He's right here. It's for you.
Well, how did that ever happen?
Please don't talk too long, Dad. I've got important things to do.
Yes. Hello? Oh, yes, Mr. Bryant.
Kathy's principal?
Just a minute, please. Bud.
Yes, Dad?
Go away.
But I have to...
Go away.
Good gravy. Try to run a business around this place.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bryant. I was just telling my son... They have? They were? She did? Well, I... Well, naturally you'd be upset. Yes. Of course. Oh, I promise you it'll never happen again. Thank you, Mr. Bryant. And thank you for calling. Good night. Kathy!
Did you call me, Daddy?
I just got a call from Mr. Bryant.
The principal?
The principal. And he tells me you've been defacing public property.
I have?
Well, haven't you?
Oh, no, Daddy. I wouldn't do a thing like that.
Mr. Bryant said you've practically ruined the entire west wall of the school.
Oh, I did not. All I did was write signs on it.
Kathy.
Well, you told me to advertise, Daddy. I just wrote slogans about the Pelicans.
I told you to write little signs on paper. I didn't tell you to put chalk marks all over the school.
It wasn't chalk, Daddy. It was paint.
Oh, I don't believe it.
I didn't think anybody would mind, and I sold practically all the Pelicans.
Pelicans? Morning, noon, and night Pelicans. Kathy, why do you do things like this to me?
But it was my best printing, Daddy. I thought you'd be proud of me.
I've got to pay to have the whole wall clean.
Maybe if I told Mr. Bryant I was sorry.
That'll do a lot of good, telling him you're sorry.
Mr. Anderson?
Good evening, officer. Now what have we done?
May I come in?
Oh, sure. Just come on in and make yourself at home.
Thank you. Miserable night, isn't it?
Yes, miserable. Don't go away, Kathy. This probably concerns you.
Yes, Daddy.
Go ahead, officer.
Mr. Anderson, we understand that you are operating an employment office at this address.
That's my son. Bud, the king of the boy babysitters.
I guess it isn't anything I did, huh, Daddy?
All right, get back to whatever you were doing.
Thank you, Daddy.
Mr. Anderson, your son has been operating an employment office, charging a fee of 10%, and he has no state license.
A license? Well, they're just kids.
I know, but the state law says...
Officer, all he did was organize the boys of the neighborhood as babysitters. And they pay him a fee.
That's the point, Mr. Anderson. They pay him a fee. And in order to collect that fee, he must have a state license. There's a fine of $500...
Bud!
While we naturally feel...
Bud!
You want me, Dad?
Come in here!
Now, there's no reason to be upset, Mr. Anderson. I'm sure you can explain to the judge.
Judge? You mean I have to go to court?
Well, according to the law, I have to give you a summons, but I'm sure that if you explain...
Bud!
What's the matter, Dad?
You name it, and we've got it. Daddy puts paint all over the school. You run an employment office without a license.
A what?
Father!
Mr. Anderson, if you'll just...
Margaret!
Father, look what that little monster did to me.
I didn't know you needed a license.
My new dress, my beautiful dress.
Is anything wrong, Jim?
Is anything right? That's the question.
I'll be right down.
Nobody said you needed a license to be a babysitter.
All I did was sit on the bench at the bus stop and look at it. Pelicans!
Steve!
Mr. Anderson.
I'm coming, Daddy.
If if the girls can be babysitters and they don't need a license, why do we need a license?
You were running an employment agency. You were getting jobs for people.
Just babysitting jobs.
Did you want me, Daddy?
Kathy, I could strangle you.
I didn't do anything.
Look at your sister's dress.
My pelicans, it worked.
Mr. Anderson, I...
Don't they look wonderful, Daddy? And it was my idea.
The first time I've even had the dress on and look at it.
Kathy, what was your idea?
Well, drawing pelicans on the benches with chalk. Then when the people sit down, they get pelicans on them.
Oh, Kathy.
And then when they walk around, everybody sees them. Isn't that the way you advertise?
Kathy, go up to your room.
But you said if I wanted to sell pelicans...
I said go up to your room.
Gee whiz.
I babysat for 3 whole nights and look at my dress.
Betty, stop acting like an infant. It's only chalk and we'll have it cleaned.
But I was going to wear it tonight.
You can wear something else.
Jumping creepers.
Dad.
I'll talk to you in just a minute. Officer.
Mr. Anderson, let's just forget the whole thing, shall we?
What you said
about the summons? Brother, if I gave you a ticket, I couldn't sleep tonight.
You, couldn't, huh?
I don't have any kids of my own,
Would you like some of mine?
No. I'll just tell them down at the station that everything's all taken care of.
Well, thank you, officer.
And there won't be any more of, you know...
The employment office folded 5 minutes ago.
That's the idea.
Thanks again, officer.
Good luck, Mr. Anderson. Brother, you can use it.
Good night.
How did I know you needed a license? Nobody told
Bud.
Me.
Jim, what on earth is going on down here?
Margaret, 5 minutes ago, I was practically on my way to jail.
What?
A $500 fine. That's what it was going to cost me.
Jim, that's impossible. How could a little girl like Kathy...
It wasn't Kathy. It was Bud.
Bud? Oh, Bud, how could you?
How could I what?
Look, Margaret, it's all over now, so let's just forget about it. But the next time anybody says babysitter or pelican or... Bud, what have you got in your hand?
In my hand?
What is it?
What is it?
Bud, will you stop repeating everything I say? What have you got in your hand?
A pelican.
Take it outside and burn it.
But it's Kathy's, Dad. I found it on the dining room table.
I said burn it. Put it in the incinerator. I never want to see another pelican as long as I live.
But this is the last one.
Good. Let's make sure it is the last one.
Mom?
Do as your father tells you, Bud.
You mean a perfectly good pelican?
Bud?
Holy cow.
Jim.
Honey, we've got to do something about the children.
I know, dear, but...
When you get to the point where a policeman feels sorry for you... Well, that's the end.
Jim, I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know that you've broken Kathy's heart.
Well, that isn't where she's going to be affected next.
She's been working very hard, and she's been doing it all for you.
For me?
That's what she said.
She didn't have to paint signs all over the school to sell 8 puny little pelicans.
8? She's already sold 8 dozen.
What?
8 dozen. And she's getting more orders every day.
But why? What can she possibly do with that many dolls?
She's going to sell them, too, and give you the money to pay for the damage she's done.
Well...
Frankly, I think you owe her an apology.
Margaret!
Kathy!
Honey, you don't know what she's been doing. She smeared paint all over the school.
You want me, Mommy?
Your father has something to say to you, dear.
Okay.
She put chalk pelicans all over the bus benches. If I have to pay for cleaning the clothes of all the people who sat down on them...
Here I am, Daddy.
Go ahead, Jim.
Kathy, your mother tells me you've been selling a lot of pelicans.
Oh, I have, Daddy. I've sold 95, and when I sell one more, I'll be all finished.
Well, that's fine, dear. I'm very proud of you.
I've got almost $48, and when I sell the last pelican... Gosh!
Well, what is it, Kathy?
My pelican! What happened to it?
Kathy...
But I just saw it. It was in the dining room when I went upstairs.
We won't worry about that pelican, Kathy. I'll give you the 50 cents and we'll consider the whole matter closed.
Oh, Daddy, you have to help me. I have to find the pelican.
Sweetheart, one little pelican isn't that important.
This one is. That's where I hid all the money.
Oh, no.
Digging into our book of Proverbs, we find a happy facet to our sad little tale. All is well that ends well. That's what they say. And so let's listen in at the Anderson breakfast table to a happier conclusion than we might imagine. Like this.
Jim.
Margaret, I'm in no mood to discuss anything. May I please be permitted the pleasure of suffering in silence?
But Bud has something very important to tell you.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it must be. Well, go ahead, Bud.
Dad, I'm sorry I disobeyed you.
About what?
About the pelican, but gosh, I didn't see any sense to burning a perfectly good thing like that.
What?
He didn't burn it, Jim.
He didn't?
I found it up in his room.
With the money?
Yes, dear.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Bud, don't ever disobey me again.
No, Dad.
It's the worst thing a boy can do.
I know, Dad.
When I give you an order, I expect it to be carried out.
Yes, Dad.
So, here's $2. Go get yourself a fluorescent cap and socks.
On the other hand, there's another proverb. Everything hath an end, it says, and a pudding hath two. Kathy, it would seem, is the other end of the pudding. Like this.
Daddy!
Kathy, don't you think you've caused enough trouble around here for the time being?
Oh, but this isn't any trouble, Daddy. This is just wonderful. I won the prize.
What prize?
I sold more pelican banks than anybody in Springfield, and they gave me the grand prize.
That's fine.
And you know what it is? A real live pelican.
Again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned in for Dragnet, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
And that's Father Knows Best from November 16th, 1950, with Enterprising Kids, starring Robert Young, also in the cast June Whitley, Ted Donaldson, Gene Vanderpile, and Rhoda Williams, sponsored by Maxwell House Coffee, is heard on NBC. Let's take a quick break. Then when we come back, it's Roy Rogers. You won't want to miss it.
More Hollywood 360 after these important messages. Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360.
Welcome back. I'm Carl Amari. This is Hollywood 360. To my right, the great Lisa Wolf, and to my left, the great Mike Costella. That's my team right here, and it's time now for the Roy Rogers Show. It was a Western. It came to radio in 1944, lasted all the way to 1955, and Roy Rogers was the king of the cowboys. He starred along with his wife, Dale Evans, and his sidekick, Gabby Hayes. Now, the songs were performed by the Sons of the Pioneers, but were replaced in 1948 by Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage. In the show's later years, Pat Brady replaced Gabby Hayes, and Roy's horse was Trigger, and his German Shepherd Wonder Dog was named Bullet. It was a 30-minute weekly show featuring songs and a dramatized adventure with Roy catching the bad guys. It was seen on TV from 1951 through 1957, and on TV, Pat Brady was Roy's sidekick. It's time now for a radio adventure of the Roy Rogers Show. From October 12th, 1951, this is called Ed Bailey's Bad Luck. Here's part one of the Roy Rogers Show.
Post, the cereals you like the most, brings you the Roy Rogers Show, starring the king of the cowboys himself, Roy Rogers, Double R Bar Ranch, transcribes stories and songs of the real West with the Whippoorwills, the wisest trail scout of them all, Jonah Wild, played by Forrest Lewis, the Queen of the West, Dale Evans, and in person, the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers.
Well, howdy, folks. This is Roy Rogers. Well, sir, Paradise Valley, it's hot, really hot. This is the kind of a day almost anything could happen.
All right, Bailey, take the money bag, right? We'll split the loot at the meeting place like we planned.
Everything okay, Harris? Everything but this? I don't like meeting at this hotel.
Because Dale Evans runs it?
She won't give us any protection. Our boys don't hang out here.
And that's why I figured it was safe. Nobody will think of us hiding out here. Anyway, we'll be heading for the desert as soon as Bailey shows up.
Bailey should have gotten here before us. The law trails you and me. He got away clean.
Give him a little time.
Fisher, Bailey's carrying the loot from the holdup. We trusted him with that money.
Bailey isn't a fool, Harris. He knows we know him and all his hideouts. He knows if he tried to run off with the loot, we could track him down within 2 days.
Somebody's out there.
Get your gun ready. Who is it?
It's me. Yeah, Bailey.
Come on in, Bailey.
He got here after all.
Yeah, had a little bad luck, boys.
Okay. Where's the loot? Let's split it now.
There's something I want to explain. I had some bad luck.
Don't give us a lot of talk. Hand over the money.
Come on, Bailey. We want to get out of here.
I lost the money.
You don't try to pull that on us.
I couldn't help it. The law was after me. I thought it was anyway. Now, wait a minute. You're taking this all wrong.
We want that money, Bailey,
right now.
Put away your guns. I'm not double-crossing. No, don't. No, I'll get out of here.
Stop him, Fisher, stop him. Bring him down. Get on out there and get on the street.
That's part one of the Roy Rogers Show. More after these words.
Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360.
Before we get back to Roy Rogers, I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a website for this radio show. It's Hollywood360radio.com. And at that site, Lisa, you know what's there, right?
I sure do.
What?
Do you want me to let you know?
Yeah, let me know.
Should I let you know what's
there?
Let
all of our listeners
know.
Well,
we not only have a schedule of what shows we're going to play each weekend here on Hollywood 360, we also have our podcast there.
Oh, yeah.
So we have the four-hour show as we record it and an extra bonus hour. So there are 5-hour podcast every week on Hollywood 360 Radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
They can get the whole shooting match there.
The whole shebang.
Yeah, because, you know, some of our stations don't carry our full 4 hours.
Right.
Which I wish they all did, but it's just not the way of the world. They don't carry all 4 hours, all of them. Many do, but if you don't get the full 4 hours, there's sort of a parachute for you. Just go to Hollywood360radio.com.
Did I just say that?
Yeah.
You just wanted to say it
again. No, I want to say it again. I want to make sure they all know
good. That
there's a podcast.
You're going to say
there.
It one more time.
What else is at the website? Millions
about
of pictures
of you.
Pictures of you, you mean.
All sorts of good stuff. Yeah. There's a store there.
Yeah, there is.
So, you know, check it out. I don't want to give everything away.
All right, go to Hollywood360radio.com. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to the Roy Rogers Show.
As the shots thunder into the quiet of Mineral City's main street, Ed Bailey falls, dead or wounded. His two partners leap through the window, hit the ground, and run toward him.
Hurry, Fisher, hurry. He's only wounded. The law will get him, and he'll talk.
And that's not all. We need the money, and he knows where it is. He was lying to us.
As the gunmen close in on their fallen companion, Roy Rogers and Jonah Wild, Roy's partner, come out of the store across the street with gun hands ready.
Yes, Roy Rogers. Looks like he wants in on this, huh?
Don't tangle with him. Get around back to the hotel. We'll get Bailey later on.
Fisher! Harris, hold it!
Yeah, they took to their heels. I'll knock them into the dust.
Hold your fire, Jonah. Dale's coming out of the hotel.
Yeah, there we was in that store, peaceful as could be. I was buying a doodad. You see, I was buying a doodad to brighten up my thingamabob. When crash, somebody jumped out the hotel window.
Roy!
Yeah, broke the glass.
Roy, a telephone call just came in for the sheriff. Charlie Fisher and Dick Harris with a man named Bailey held up a bank at Squaw City.
Yeah, that explains why they didn't take the stairs.
Roy, this man lying here is Bailey, Roy.
Jonah, you and Dale see if you can get Bailey into the hotel. Then call the doctor.
You bet, Roy.
No way to do jump through a window.
Come on, Jonah.
I'll head around behind the hotel and see if I can't smoke out those other two rattlers.
Before Roy can get around to the back of the hotel, Charlie Fisher and Dick Harris have made their plans.
Inside, Fisher. Inside, quick.
We can't go back in the hotel. They'll be looking for us.
Inside, I said. Bailey with double crosses, he'd curry favor with the law. He'd tell them about our desert hideout. We've got to take Bailey before we leave.
Roy searches the grounds, the buildings behind the hotel. He sees horses he does not recognize. And because he finds no trail leading away, surmises the outlaws are still somewhere nearby. Then he sees a sign in the dust. Footprints of two men who have gone into the hotel through the back door. Quickly, Roy enters the hotel, goes directly to the room Dale uses as an office.
Dale, Harris and Fisher have come in the... Dale, Jonah.
Oh, Roy.
What's the matter? What's happened here?
I'll be all right in a minute.
They got Bailey, Roy.
Yeah, we was dragging and carrying and hauling this Bailey toward the room.
Well, cut it short, Jonah.
Yeah, well, we opened the door here, and there they was. I seen them as I went down. One of them lambasted me on the head with his gun, and the other one got Dale. He must have run off with Bailey.
But they tried to kill Bailey a few minutes ago. Now they risk their lives by coming back here. Bailey must know something, and the other two are afraid he'll talk.
Yeah, well, it's a fine way to treat a veteran soldier. 7-8 wars. I say, that's a fine way to treat a veteran soldier. Lambast him on the head.
As soon as you and Dale feel better, we'll...
Oh, we're all right now, Roy. Just tell us what you want done, and we'll do it.
Well, Fisher and Harris haven't had a chance to leave the hotel yet, and we won't give them a chance. We'll get some of the men on the street to watch the windows and doors while we search. We're going to find those rattlers. Watch every door and every window, you fellas. Don't let anyone out. I'll be back as soon as I've found what we're looking for.
Jonah and I are going along to help, Roy.
Oh, no, you're not. Stay here and help the men guard.
Now, look here, Nev. What would General Thomas Kenneth Rowe say if he heard a veteran of his army consented to do only guard duty after being lambasted on the head? Why, he'd
now, listen, Roy, you may need help, and I should be with you. I know every inch of this hotel, and I know every corner where they might be hiding.
Well, all right. But let's not take chances. These men are desperate. They might kill rather than be captured.
Roy enters the hotel, Jonah at his side. Dale walking a step behind, pointing out places where the outlaws might be hiding. They search every room, every corner of every room, but nowhere do they find the dangerous outlaws. Suddenly, Dale steps out ahead.
Roy, there's one place we haven't looked.
Dale!
This storage closet behind the stairway here.
Get back here. Don't take chances.
Here, see?
Raise your hand, free. Save the girl, Fisher. Hold her.
Fisher and Harris spring out of the closet beneath the stairs, shooting as they come. Bailey is with them, a prisoner. They grab Dale, pull her around so that she stands between themselves and Roy and Jonah.
Oh, no, you got
those hands up. Here. Don't lower them for any reason or we'll kill the girls.
Stand around here. Bailey, don't you try anything funny either.
Hey, you're wrong about me. I'm not double-crossing.
Hey, these is a polecat that give me the headache.
Call to those cowpokes outside, Rogers. Tell them the shooting they just heard was an accident.
And if I don't?
We're playing for keeps. You and the men outside may take us. We know that. But if you try, we'll get the girl and you too, maybe.
Call them, Rogers. We're not waiting. Tell them to stay outside.
Yeah, fine way to treat an old soldier.
I'm not afraid, Roy.
You fellas out there, stay where you are. Never mind that shooting, just keep watching, as you have been.
I'm sorry, Roy.
Glad to see you're playing our way, Rogers. Now walk toward the front door, ahead of us. Keep your hands above your head until you get there.
And then?
Then you're telling the men outside to let us go through. Now come on, start moving.
All right, Fisher.
We're leaving, Rogers. But we're taking Dale Evans alone. We'll keep her with us for 48 hours and have a two-day start on the law. Nobody's bothered us by that time, we'll turn her loose. But if we even suspicion somebody's on our trail, we'll finish her off. Stay right here by the door.
I'm not afraid, Roy. I'm not afraid.
I'll keep Bailey and the girl covered, Fisher. You step ahead and open the door so Rogers and Jonah don't have to lower their hands.
Yeah. Now watch her close, Harris. Yeah.
What's the matter with this door?
Don't get excited, Fisher.
The door's stuck. It won't open.
Maybe that's because my foot's against it.
What's that? Come on, Jonah. You got him.
You fell for a trick, Fisher. We're taking you for sure this time.
Fisher and Harris hold Roy and Jonah at the point of their guns, threatening to kill Dale unless Roy gives them a guarantee of safe passage out of Mineral City. As they come to the front of the hotel, Fisher steps ahead to open the door. Instantly, Roy tries an old trick, diverts Fisher's attention for a split second. Fisher looks away. In that split second, Roy lunges, knocking Fisher's gun from his hand. He swings on Fisher, and Fisher staggers and falls.
Jonah, finish off Fisher. I'll get Harris.
Oh, no, Rogers, you're not coming after me.
Harris has played it smart. He was not drawn into the fight. Instead, he stood guarding Dale and Ed Bailey, just as he stands now, gun in hand, ready for a chance at Roy. He steps forward, beyond the bruised Fisher, to protect him.
It's all over, Rogers. Raise your hands again. Be thankful you have friends outside. Otherwise, I'd have killed you. On your feet, Fisher.
Sure, Harris.
Oh, Shaw, for a minute there, my headache started to go away.
You'll open the door yourself this time, Rogers.
Anything to oblige.
Hold it. If there's any more funny business, I will shoot. That's a promise. All right, now open the door. Tell the men outside to let us through.
Go ahead, Roy. I'll be all right.
Rogers, I said open the door.
Here you are.
Now call to your friends.
You won't have the upper hand much longer, Harris.
Yeah, don't now if the truth was known.
Hey, fellas, these people are coming out. They're the rattlers we're looking for, but I want you to let them go through your lines. Let them go through. They've got Dale. Her life's at stake. So don't raise your hands to stop them. Let them go through your lines.
Hey, they're gone. They're clear gone, and we didn't do a thing about it. This is the first time I saw you whipped, Rogers.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. There ain't nobody whipped. We just retired to regroup our lines. And the first person who says we didn't, I'll pin back his ears. See, I'll pin back his ears.
Easy, Jonah.
Well, Roy ain't whipped. I fit in 7 to 8 walls, as you all know. And I recognize a smart move on the part of a general when I see one. Roy,
would just
you
a minute, Jonah. They've got the best of us, and we might as well admit it. But that doesn't mean they're keeping the upper hand. We're riding out after them right now. But I want you men to promise one thing before we leave. That you'll stay here and not try to follow Jonah and me. They're holding Dale as hostage. Two men may have a chance of getting up to him without being spotted. But a posse would be seen a mile away. And that'd be the end for Dale. Now, how about that promise? Good enough. Come on, Jonah. Let's get our horses and pick up the trail. Up here, Jonah. Up on these rocks.
Yeah, I'm coming, Roy.
Whoa, here, Trigger. Whoa, boy.
Whoa, Titus.
We should be able to see him from here.
Yeah, I wish I had the spyglass General Thomas Kenneth Rowe used to have. He could see a sandfly crawling across a cactus at 300 yards without batting.
Hey, there they are. Both of them. And Dale.
Eh? Where?
Headed towards Rocky Gulch.
Sure enough. I'll fix him.
Hold it, Jonah. Put that gun away.
I'll get to Dad ready.
Well, they're out of range. They're a good mile ahead of us. You're only tipping them off that we're on their trail. You'll be putting Dale in danger.
Yeah, that's right. Trouble is, though, a thing like this makes my soldier blood boil up. And I forget this ain't a long-range musket.
Come on. We'll ride on down and get on their trail again. They're still gaining on us.
Getting dark, Roy.
Yeah, I know. The past 15 or 20 minutes, I've been having trouble finding the trail.
Well, one thing certain, the horses ain't going to last the way they're pushing them.
We'll have to stop, Jonah.
Eh? For the night, you mean?
Sure. We can't do anything else.
Oh, but I've been on many a forced march, Roy. I say I've been on a many one. I can stand the pace. Don't you worry about me.
I know you can, Jonah, but we'll lose time if we keep going. We'll miss the trail or we'll use up our horses.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
We'll unsaddle and rest, then start out again when the sun comes up.
I'm glad General Rowe ain't here to see me give up pursuing the enemy.
Sometimes a man can press himself too hard, Jonah. If General Rowe was smart, he'd have understood that.
Yeah, well, now there's the whole trouble. That fella wasn't smart. He was dumb.
Okay. Well, let's get some rest. One thing sure, tomorrow's another day.
I
Yeah, doggies. Sun's hot early this morning, ain't it? Yeah, don't make no difference. We're on the trail.
Looks like they mean to head straight across the desert, Jonah.
Well, they're playing it smart, that's what. Once they get across the desert, they'll be in a different state. The law will have a hard time bringing them back.
Wait a minute here. Whoa, whoa, Trigger. Whoa, boy. Jonah, you've just given me an idea.
Oh, sure, it's nothing. Got lots of them. Learned them the hard way, too. See, I learned them the hard way on the field of battle.
They are trying to get across the state line. And they figure to do it within 48 hours while Dale is still with them.
No, sirree. I never was no parade ground, Horatio.
But they're taking the back trail in order to keep away from the main roads. That adds 30 miles to the trip. And it means they'll have to go without water except for, well, what they may have in their canteens.
Yeah, they'll be real thirsty before they finish their trip.
They and the horses both. There's just one place on the back trail where they can get water. Last Hope Springs. Let's see. With any luck, they'll get there around noon tomorrow.
Be as thirsty as a dried up camel.
Say, we could take the main trail and save that 30 miles. Then cut across to the springs and be there ahead of them.
Yeah. Be waiting when they stagger up there all dry and parched. I tell you, Roy, I hate to slap myself on the back, but there is nothing like a battle-scarred soldier to give man ideas.
You're absolutely right, Jonah. And while we're riding, I wish you'd think up another idea how we're going to handle the situation after we find these rattlers to keep Dale from getting hurt.
Roy and Jonah ride carefully to save the strength of their horses, knowing they'll be at Last Hope Springs hours ahead of the outlaws. But Harrison Fisher, guarding Dale and Ed Bailey, ride under pressure, trying to make every minute count. They use their water sparingly. The heat is intense.
You gotta let me stop it. I'm wounded. I'm in pain.
Fisher, do something about that man.
I can't go any farther. I got a fever and I need water.
Pull that horse around. Get in line.
No, I'm stopping. I won't go any farther.
Get in line. I said nobody's stopping.
Wait a minute, Fisher.
No, I'd rather die and go on. But my wound hurt me like this.
We ought to finish her right here. No worse off than Dale Evans. You don't hear her complaining.
Yeah, but I got this wound.
There's nothing you can do that would make me complain.
Get down off of that horse, Bailey.
You're not going to kill me.
Get down off of your horse.
I'm sick. My throat is burning.
Here's water, Bailey. I've got a little left.
Don't give it to him. We need the water for ourselves, Harris.
Would you like a drink, Bailey?
Yes, please.
But you're the man who lost the money bag. You lost the loot from the holdup.
Don't talk in front of her, Harris.
Why should we give you any water?
Yeah, but I hid the loot. I didn't lose it.
Why, you're dirty.
Yeah, give me a drink. Give me a drink, and I'll tell you where the money is.
Tell me first, before you get a drink.
In the hollow of that tree that lightning struck, just north of Mineral City, near Fred App's place. Yeah, come on, give me the water.
Here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Harris, we need that water for ourselves.
There's only a few drops, Fisher. We can get along for a while. We'll reach Lost Hope Springs by noon, and there'll be plenty of water for everybody then.
The wounded Bailey licks the last few drops of water from the canteen greedily as his hate-filled companions watch. Dale alone holds herself in check, determined not to give way either to thirst or the blistering heat. Roy and Jonah have arrived at Last Hope Springs and are waiting for the coming of the outlaws.
Phew. Doggies, this is what I call a real hot day, Roy. It's a real hot day.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, sure be glad when it's over. If it gets over. And if we're still living. I remarked the same thing to General Thomas Kenneth Rowe during the Battle of Frying Pan Valley.
Is that so?
Yes, sirree. And it turned the tide, too. That one little remark caused the enemy to be whipped to a frazzle-dazzle. And it just seemed like Oh, Roy, you ain't paying me no mind.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jonah. I was just watching those four riders just beyond the big sand dune there.
Eh? Four riders?
Yeah. The three hombres we're after, and Dale. It looks as though our troubles will all be over, one way or the other, within a few minutes.
Hey, the way they're coming, the horses must smell the water in the spring.
Keep behind this rise, Jonah. Don't let them see us.
You doggone betcha.
Trigger, I've got a little job for you to do, fella. As soon as they're on the ground, I want you to run their horses off. Understand?
Hey, Fisher's running for the spring, Roy.
Well, when he bends down to take a drink, put a shot in front of him.
Yep, just like the Battle of Worm Canyon.
I'll take care of the rest. All right, let him have it.
Oh! Bill, drop to the ground, quick!
Oh! Trigger, drive those horses off. Take them out of there, fella.
I'll take care of the girl, Fisher.
Roy, he's going to shoot Dale.
No, he's not.
Oh! Doggies, you stopped him.
Jonah, watch Fisher.
Draw on me, will you? Roy, did you see that? Did you see how the gun went sailing out of his dirty hand?
Good work, Jonah.
Yeah, oh, sure. General Thomas Kenneth Rode be proud of me, all right.
Hey, you hombres, listen. You're without guns now and without horses. You'll get no water unless you surrender. What's your answer? Dale, come this way. We'll cover you.
Dale walks toward Roy and Jonah. The outlaws stand where they are. Fisher's face, burned by the sun, streaked by sweat and alkali dust, is blank. Harris, from head to toe, is filled with rage. A rage which goes out of control for a moment. He's whipped. He knows he's whipped. He'll go to prison if he gives up. But if he doesn't give up, he holds himself in check. Then says unsteadily,
"We surrender, Rogers. We're your prisoners."
"Well, walk this way. Keep your hands over your head."
"We got him, Roy. We got him."
The three men come forward slowly. Bailey, weakened by the effects of his wound, drags himself across the hot sand. Within minutes, Trigger has rounded up the horses. The outlaws are securely roped, and then with Dale at their side, Roy and Jonah ride herd on the gunman towards Mineral City.
"I don't want another ride like my last one, I can promise you."
"Well, Jonah and I were worried about you for a while, Dale, weren't we, Jonah?"
"Yeah."
"One good thing, though. They hadn't taken me. We might never have found out where they'd hidden the loot from their holdup."
"Yeah, some good came out of it anyway. Jonah, you're not saying much."
"Well, I'm thinking."
"Thinking? About what?"
"Well, sir, the day at the Battle of Frying Pan Valley, when I remarked how hot it was to General Thomas Kenneth Rowe." "Yes, sir. It is, Joni." "He always called me Joni, General Rowe did. Yeah, it's too blamed hot to fight," he says. And he walked off the field.
"But I thought you said you won that battle."
"Oh, sure. Well, yes, we did. Washington got so mad at the general for walking off the field of battle, they fired him." "Yeah. Well, he went and joined the other side, and he didn't know nothing without me to advise him, so he led the other side straight into defeat. And we won."
"Brother."
"Now, Dale, don't you start doubting Jonah's word. He's my hard-riding sidekick, and I wouldn't be worth anything myself if it wasn't for his advice."
"Oh, no, sir."
"Jonah, here's your gun. Uh-huh. You dropped it back there during the excitement. I guess you kind of forgot to pick it up."
"Oh, sure."
That's all for now, folks. This is Roy Rogers saying to all of you from all of us, goodbye, good luck, and may the good Lord take a liking to you. See you next week.
The Roy Rogers Show is brought to you by Post Cereals, each week at this same time, with the Whippoorwills, Forrest Lewis, Dale Evans, and the king of the cowboys himself, Roy Rogers. An Art Rush production, transcribed, directed by Tom Hargis, script by Ray Wilson, music by Milton Charles. Featured in today's cast were Frank Hemingway, Howard McNear, Bill Green, and Leo Curley. This is Art Ballinger speaking for Post Cereals.
That's the Roy Rogers Show from October 12, 1951, with Ed Bailey's Bad Luck, starring Roy Rogers along with Dale Evans, Bill Green, Forrest Lewis, Howard McNear, and Leo Curley, with Art Ballinger doing the announcing for Post Cereals, as heard on NBC. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on Hollywood 360.
More Hollywood 360 after these important messages.
Hi, Carl Amari here for Remind Magazine, America's monthly blast from the past. Each month, Remind Magazine focuses on a pop culture theme from the 1950s through the 1980s, covering a wide spectrum of topics from Marilyn Monroe to Marilyn Manson. In every 50-plus page issue of Remind Magazine, you'll find dozens of puzzles, movie posters, trivia contests, classic comics, crossword puzzles, vintage advertisements for products from days gone by, and much more. And every issue features my column, Radio 360, where I focus on a celebrity from Hollywood's golden age and write about his or her radio work. And next to my article is the monthly schedule of the classic radio shows I'll be playing each month, so you'll never miss your favorites. Remind Magazine is available at Barnes & Noble and Walmart stores throughout the country. But because I write for this magazine, I'll let you in on a little secret. You can get Remind Magazine for about 60% less than the newsstand price by ordering it online at remindmagazine.com. Visit remindmagazine.com and subscribe to day.
Now back to the best in classic radio on Hollywood 360.
Next time, it's a sci-fi adventure of Dimension X. You won't want to miss that. Then it's part one of Fibber McGee and Molly from 1940. McGee's car is stolen. Have to find out what's going on with that, right, Lisa and Mike?
Right.
All right, we'll see you all next time right here on Hollywood 360.